Are you overwhelmed, stressed out, frustrated? Do you have multiple competing priorities and you don't know where or how to start? Do you have more tasks on your desk than you have time? Then tune in to today's episode where we're going to be giving you top strategies for delegating effectively.
Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to eLaborate Topics. I am your host and leadership mentor for this episode, Tywana Wilson. eLaborate Topics is a weekly podcast that gives you practical leadership and technical strategies that you can use inside and outside of the lab. Whether you are a technologist on the bench, a phlebotomist on the front line, a specimen processor, or maybe you're part of our sales team, or a friend of the laboratory, then this podcast is for you. Myself, along with my two co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, brings you these topics week after week with some of our engaging guests, as well as our own practical know-how that we have developed over the years of as being medical laboratory scientists. So let's go ahead and jump right into today's episode. We are going to be talking about a hot topic. This topic is one that managers and leaders struggle with all the time, and it's all around delegation. Delegation is an important component of most leadership skills. It could be viewed as a soft skill. And why is delegation important? It's important because, let's face it, there's no shortage of tasks that needs to be done. There's no shortage of priorities and deadlines. And you need effective ways in order to get these priorities managed and get these tasks completed on time. But you're going to need some help. You can't do it all your own. And quite frankly, your leaders, especially if they're good ones, don't expect you to get it done all on your own. That's why you have a team. And it pays to have the right team in place. I know as a leader, it's often difficult letting go of the responsibilities. It's easy to assume that if you're the manager or the supervisor or the lead tech or coordinator or whatever your particular organization calls somebody with a next level of authority, it's easy to get bogged down in the weeds that you are responsible and you have to do it all on your own. There's a study that was done by Harvard, and it actually suggested that delegation can increase overall performance of any organization. So whether you're a hospital laboratory, a freestanding emergency department, whether you're a doctor's office, or even an entrepreneur, being able to delegate and have a team will be critical for you. Delegating empowers others in your organization, on your team, to make the most of their skills. So it's an important opportunity to be able to allow them to increase their skills for your teammates, and it also reduces the stress that you have on yourself. So first, we're going to talk about knowing when to delegate. Before you can learn how to delegate effectively, it's important that you know when it would be beneficial for you to share your tasks with your team, with your employees, because not every task can be delegated. No matter how hard you try, there are going to be certain issues that you'll want to handle for yourself. So in some cases, resist the urge. For instance, you can't have your staff performing their own audits or performance reviews or things like that. So those are things that you can't delegate out, right? But there are some things that you can delegate out. So say if you are a supervisor, you may have a staff member that checks your maintenance logs for you and making sure that they are completed. As we know in the laboratory, we don't like holes, especially when we perform patient testing on that day. We want to make sure that our instruments were in control, our maintenance checks were performed, and so that you could start off with tasks like that. I have seen some supervisors or managers delegate the scheduling. Now that can get a little bit tricky, but I have seen it where they have a team member that actually does their schedules for them. There are other things that you can delegate as well. In the laboratory, it's very important to make sure things that are dated and labeled appropriately. So being able to have somebody to check those, as we know, we should always be CAP compliant at all times, our Joint Commission compliant, or any of the other regulatory agencies compliant at all times. And as the supervisor or lead, you can't be everywhere at all times. So you need somebody else to be looking as well, because you can be looking at one thing and see it day after day and it doesn't stand out until another set of eyes starts to look at it. So those are things that you can think about that needs to be delegated. And then you can also think about, are there tasks that you do that can be automated by a computer? Are there reports that can be ran for you versus you pulling data manually? So that means that the human part of it is not necessary. As my mom would always say, work smarter, not harder. And that making sure that your tools work for you. I know sometimes as organizations, and I've been in several, where we have a lot of tools where we maybe only use one part of the tool for this or one part of that tool for something else. But are you really utilizing all of your tools effectively? And that can serve as some automation or delegation of those responsibilities in which you're not spending time. Hiring excellent team members, I will say, is very important too, to ensure that you can delegate effectively to your team, because one of the reasons that people don't delegate is because they don't feel like their team has the skills to be able to do it. So one, you got to empower your team. Two, it starts with making a smart hire or the right choice for your team. So the most obvious times to delegate are when, and here, make sure you are taking some notes, get your pen and paper out, but you simply don't have the right talent or skill to handle a task on your own. So there are some things that are better delegated to somebody else that's more resourced to be able to handle that task or have the right skill set to be able to do it. I like to use the phrase, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. I can remember serving as the treasurer for my sorority, and I learned a lot. I learned how to use software that I didn't know how to use. I learned how to use QuickBooks. I learned a lot about checks and balances and making sure that my reports were audited and they were balanced every month. And what it taught me is that although I learned that skill and I can do it at any time, it wasn't something that I took great passion. I didn't really enjoy it. I knew how to do it and I did it well, but it was one of those things, just because you can don't mean you should. So that would be something that I would delegate out, because I don't want to do the tedious task of doing all the budget, doing the numbers, I just don't want to spend my time that way. But it's a great skill to have. I know if something is out of order, but if you don't have the right talent or skill, that's definitely something that you should delegate out. So maybe doing a schedule, maybe looking at, because doing the schedule is like a puzzle. So maybe if you are not great at looking at the schedule and being able to figure out, especially if you're doing rotating schedules or making sure everybody has the right days, you know, maybe that's something that you delegate out. Another obvious time to delegate is when somebody on your team or within your organization is better equipped for that task in question. So I know with staffing challenges, some roles in your organization or some people may be asked to do more than one job, especially if somebody departs the organization. And when somebody's asked to do more than one part, looking at when you are divvying up responsibilities, do those responsibilities make sense for the person you are getting ready to divvy those tasks out to? Because maybe it doesn't. Maybe it belongs somewhere else with somebody else that's more capable of performing that task more efficiently and effectively. Another obvious time to delegate is you don't have enough time to handle all the tasks in front of you. So you already have 10 projects on your plate in which you are the lead for at least 7 of them. If somebody comes to you with another project, then you know that you will probably have to delegate that out because you just don't have enough time to be able to look at all of these projects, manage all of these projects, and be able to be the key resource for all of them. And that's where you have to depend on your team of being able to handle some of the projects. If there are other priorities that are rising to the surface that need your prompt attention, so you may need to restructure your time in that case. So those are obvious times in when to delegate. So when you are a manager or leader, those are things you look at your projects. If you know that you have more and more projects or tasks getting added to your plate, you're going to have to delegate. And don't think of delegation as I'm pawning my work off on somebody. Delegation is really awesome when presented right to your team members. I can remember having a team lead that was very, very stressed. I was a newer tech. I knew I wanted to rise up through the ranks, and I know I wanted to move to higher levels of authority, to higher positions. I was a bench technologist at the time. I saw that my lead tech was very stressed, trying to keep up with QC and training and keep up with everything that was happening in our toxicology and special chemistry area. And it was one of those things where feel the need. So if you are a rising star that's listening to this episode, feel the need. Be able to feel the need. You could tell when your managers, your team leaders are stressed out and overwhelmed. Be able to help. Be able to offer some assistance to be able to take some of that stress off of them. Because what it does for you is it allows you to gain those skills. And so I saw that my team leader was stressed and overwhelmed. And I'm like, well, if we have any new hires that come back here, I'm willing to train them, you know, and it put me in the department for months at a time, which was okay because I was able to practice my training skills. I was able to work with new hires that we had. I was able to gain that confidence in training and public speaking and being able to help a fellow team member. And she really appreciated that because with that, taking off training off of her plate, I also would look at maintenance logs. Since I was in the department for a long period of time, I would look at maintenance logs. I would make sure I would check inventory for her to let her know when the inventory was getting low or if we needed something. And although I didn't have a documented leadership role or supervisory role, I was able to use that in other job opportunities that I got when I was asked, name a time that I took on some extra responsibilities that I didn't have. So delegation is great for the manager and is great for the person that's being delegated to when done effectively. So we've talked about when to delegate. Let's talk about knowing how to delegate. as scientists, as we are technical people, right? And delegating isn't something that always comes naturally to us. And actually, it doesn't come naturally to a lot of leaders because you got to practice it. You got to practice it. And it's getting over that trust, that fear, that it's getting over all of those things that we have in our mind. And you need a plan. So I'm going to give you some strategies that you can use to help you know how to delegate. And this episode is more so for managers and leaders, but if you have to delegate anything in your personal life, if you're in the community, you could definitely take these strategies with you. So get to know your employees or your team if you don't have employees. Every employee has a specific skill set and talent that makes them better suited for certain challenges. So your staff might even have goals when you do your performance reviews or you think about the year and what your teammates want to accomplish for that year. Then delegating tasks to them could help them achieve some of those targets. For instance, if you have an employee that wants to develop their leadership skills, for example, and they're very good with safety, they're very good with safety and they're very good with pointing out when something doesn't seem quite right, you could have them lead your internal safety team with the help of the rest of the team, of course, but they could take the lead in that instance by doing your department rounds for safety, making sure secondary containers are labeled appropriately, making sure that everything is in your MSDS catalog, if your electronic catalog, if you have one. But getting to know your employees, because you can't delegate everything to everybody. So this is why this is very important, because your team all has a diverse skill set. So knowing who would do well at a certain skill and being able to delegate that particular task to them. So that takes you as the manager, the leader, the supervisor. That takes you knowing your team and understanding how to leverage them to your full advantage or to the advantage of the organization. The second strategy is define desired outcomes. So the projects you hand elsewhere should come with plenty of context and tie into the goals of your organization or department. So you'll need to be really, really clear. This is where some people kind of mess up. You need to be really clear about the objectives you want to accomplish in order to see the results. So what does this mean? You need to know exactly what you want your employees or team to achieve before you assign them any task and ensure that they're clear on their goals as well. Laying out clear expectations can save you a lot of time and money on mistakes and rework. And our lean friends, our Lean Six Sigma friends, they don't like rework, right? So you want to make sure that you are really clear on what it is that you need done, when it needs to be done, what's that timeline, what are you asking the employee to do. I've seen delegation go wrong here where it's like, hey, I need you to review QC, but you gave no timeline, you gave no instructions, you didn't tell them exactly what QC you wanted them to review. You didn't give no context on it. Am I reviewing this month? Am I reviewing last month? What exactly am I doing? Do you need this next week? Do you need this tomorrow? You know, so being very clear on what you want people to do, because that's the quickest way to get people not to want to get any of your delegated projects, because you're not clear on what you want. The third strategy is provide the right resources. If the person you're delegating to your work to needs to help to get it done, they need time off the bench to get it done, you have to ensure that they have the time off the bench in order to get it done. They have that time to be able to work on it. So sometimes your employee may require specific training or the authority to feel empowered to be able to do a certain task and resources to get through the project. So you have to make sure as you're delegating, and I've seen this happen too, where somebody has delegated a task to a team member, but they don't have time to work on it. Like you didn't give them time to be able to be successful in that. And that's the one thing, is everybody wants to be successful and do a good job. More than not, people really want to do a good job and they want to be helpful, but they want to be set up for success as well. So remove any red tape or hurdles in advance and give them the resources that they need so that they can truly do a good job. And if when you give them all of the resources they need initially, also means that you can fight the urge to micromanage. Trust that they can do whatever it is that you have assigned them to do. They have all the tools to be successful. And then you can take a step back and watch them be able to get the work done. The fourth strategy is to establish channels of communication. Now, you can't just delegate the project and never check back in, or delegate the task and never check back in until it's done. I'm not saying micromanage, I'm saying establish channels of communication. It's important to have a system in place that encourages positive input and feedback when your team members have questions on the projects that they're working on. So think about the most effective modes of communication that you have had. So whether that's, you know, setting up a Zoom meeting or Teams meeting if your team member is remote, to be able to check in, whether that's setting up regular time on your calendar for the person to be able to check in and ask questions, especially if it's a project that is long in duration. You want to make sure that there's that time for them to be able to check in with you. So setting up regular communication. So if you have a project that spans over a month, for example, then you might want to set weekly check-ins with the person that you have delegated the task to. That way you're leaving an open door policy there. So setting up those regular communication strategies will help you in the long run with your project. And the last strategy would be allow for failure and reward success. You want to avoid delegating with the assumption that your team member is not going to be successful or they're not going to finish the project. You want to be confident in their skills and abilities, as this will help you avoid the micromanaging. But keep in mind that things might not go exactly according to plan, right? So you want to recognize mistakes and use them as opportunities to give useful feedback for the future. So you don't want to beat the person up because they made a mistake or they failed at something, but use it as a learning lesson. You might even learn that you need to get better instructions or be clearer about your requests when you're sharing information with your staff. So it could be a learning lesson for both parties. I've definitely had that happen where I've given out instructions, and so I thought it was very clear, but it wasn't very clear for the person that I gave the project to or delegated to. So you also want to, when you are giving those projects out, you know, making sure they understand, you know, does, before they walk off and get started too, does this make sense? Do you have any questions? Is there anything else that you need? Is there any additional information that you need? When delegation goes well, however, and your employees deliver positive results, make sure that you recognize it. So pay attention to their effort that they have spent trying to do the project or task that you have given them, and acknowledge the results and with awards and praise and public praise and meetings or whatever the case may be, because they took that project, they owned it, and it was something that was impactful to them, and you should celebrate the success with them. So those are five strategies that you can start implementing right away when it is time to delegate. So think about your next project that you have, your next task. Think about the strategies that you can employ. So get to know your employees so that you know what skill set they have and who you can delegate certain projects to that makes sense. You want to define the desired outcome. So you want to be very clear in your instructions that you're giving to the person that you are delegating to. You want to provide the right resources, making sure they have time to be effective, making sure they have the computer technology that they need to be effective in the skills or in that project. You want to establish channels of communication so that there's regular check-ins for feedback, for in case if there is an opportunity that you might need to change the project timelines, or if there is something that just isn't lining up with the project, then you have those established check-in points, whether that's a virtual check-in, a conference call check-in, or whether that's in person. And then allow for failure and also reward success, because somebody did take that off of your plate. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and they should be celebrated on doing a great job. And if they didn't do a great job, or maybe had some difficulties, then learn from that and figure out how to do better on the next time. What could be a better avenue to take? So those are some successful tips that you can use to be able to delegate effectively in your role as a leader, manager, supervisor in your laboratory. I hope you were able to get something out of this podcast. Please listen to other episodes of Elaborate Topics at directimpactbroadcasting.com or your favorite podcast platform. Please share this broadcast out with anybody that can use to benefit from the tips that we share week after week after week. You can catch myself and my co-host on LinkedIn in our Elaborate Topics group. So come on over there and join us. Request to join the group. We would love to have you to continue the discussion for today's podcast as well as other episodes that we have had. If you would like to be on the show, go to directimpactbroadcasting.com and there's a link for you to submit your interest. Until then, I hope you have an amazing week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.